Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Thousands of articles and podcasts up on AmericaOutLoud.com from some of the top conservative contributors from all over the country. You guys want to be sure to head on over there and check that out if you have not done so already. And while you're there, please share. We appreciate that. We're dealing with the same social media censorship that everyone else is. You know, Rob, we've got such an embarrassment at the top of our country right now. If you look at Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris went over to Europe recently and it was a total disaster. She does not know what to say. She's not prepared. She's a bad speaker. She's just a total embarrassment for America. And quite frankly, she made things a lot worse than what they were before, to the point where sleepy Joe Biden's going to travel to Europe because he thinks he can do a better job than Kamala Harris did. And to me, that's a bad sign when Joe Biden thinks he could do a better job than somebody, particularly our vice president, who is next in line. She has gotten to her position, and I don't know how, because when this woman speaks, she just looks completely unprepared. She looks like a deer in the headlights, and it's an embarrassment for our country. And then you look at Joe Biden, and it's the same thing. Like we were talking about previously, Rob, I almost wish Joe Biden just would not even go. He's only going to make things worse, just like his call with President Xi, where he gave a very dishonest account of what they talked about compared to what President Xi came out of the call thinking. This president is weak. He does not know how to talk to our allies or our enemies. And he's just bound to make things worse when he goes over there, because every time he opens his mouth, things never get better. He's always making things worse. That's the way I feel. Rob, what are your thoughts?
First of all, I want to just thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And as you said, Andrew, please share the broadcast. We really appreciate it. That's the way we get our voices out there and get more people to understand what's happening, get the real stories to what's happening without the spinning and the twisting that the mainstream media is doing. Now, as far as Joe, you say going, he's there. I mean, I would like to hear, would hope he wouldn't be there, but he's already there. Make a complete fool of himself. The fact that he went, and even before getting on the plane, his staffers or folks at the White House were questioning as to whether or not he should go. Well, he has to go because, like you said, Kamala went, and she was a complete embarrassment. Why they sent her there after the fact, after the Russia and Ukraine little conflict had already started, why didn't he go himself? Why didn't he go? Why is he only now going? Why did he just decide to go now? Because he realized that the mission that they sent her on, she didn't accomplish. If anything, she made things worse. You're probably wondering, why is she even here? Talking about a friend in need is a friend indeed. And the constant cackling. I mean, this woman is a walking, talking disaster. But don't take my word for it. Here's a tape. Look at it for yourself. Run the tape.
We've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
There you have it. Just a tiny little snippet of who she is. Well, some will say, oh, please leave her alone. This is racism. This is you're attacking a woman. And we've talked about this before, how they're constantly saying that we're attacking her because of her gender, because of the color of her skin. Well, you just heard the tape. I mean, it speaks for itself. She's in over her head. There's an article that's coming out, or a book by two writers of the New York Times. And whenever the New York Times, they're putting out something, it's probably fake news. I mean, they just make stuff up whole cloth, Andrew. They don't have to have a source. They just, oh, well, why don't we just make this up? They don't care. They know that people are going to buy it anyway.
Yeah, I thought it was funny the other day when someone made the accusation against the Supreme Court judge that's up now. And they said, oh, that was debunked by CNN and the New York Times. It's like, oh, really? Well, if they say that it's not true, then that almost leads me to believe that it's true, because whatever the opposite of what they say is usually the truth.
The New York Times, just like the Hunter Biden laptop. Only now they're coming around and saying, right, you know, they're now coming around and they're saying, oh yeah, we looked and it's real. Well, thanks for coming so late, but we had already made the decision that it was real. How could it not be? We had Miranda Devine from the New York Post, who reported on the story rather in-depthly. She also wrote a book about the laptop from hell. But yet, you know, they're coming out and they're saying now that in this book that they're putting out, that even Jill Biden, Jill, is supposed to be the first lady, I guess, or the first resident lady, you know, that she even questioned Biden as to, of all the people there, why do you have to pick her? Why does she have to be on the ticket, considering the hard time she gave you during the primaries? And I've told you guys before that Jill never liked Kamala. She never liked her. And that is a reason why Kamala is always on these failed missions around the world. They gave her the border czar. She never accepted it. She's never been to the border. But think about it. They gave that to her to fix. And what has she done? As one of our guests, Irene, came on and said that Kamala hasn't been anywhere near the border. And then she tells Lester Holt, and like the clip that I played when he said, you've been to the border. Well, I haven't been to Europe either. Well, this is before she went to Europe, the two times that she's gone and made a complete embarrassment of herself. But apparently in this book, they're saying that Jill questioned, why did Biden pick her? Well, I'll tell you why, because he was told to pick her. He was told to pick her because she's Black or she's mixed Asian, and she's a female.
Yeah, it's almost like Jill Biden. She's obviously not as far gone as her husband is, Joe Biden. And it seems like Joe is too senile to realize when people have done him wrong or bashed him. But Jill Biden, she's remembering and she's taken receipts. And I agree with you. I don't think she's ever forgiven Kamala Harris for embarrassing Joe Biden on the debate stage.
Nope, she has not. And she is holding on to that because that was, when you think about it, Andrew, not only was she, did she embarrass him, was she calling him out, she being Kamala, but she challenged him. And she was saying that he, in fact, was a racist, which is what we've been saying all along. They say that Donald Trump is a racist, President Trump. It's like, are you serious? Look at some of the things that Joe has said. If you don't vote for me, you're not Black. That every 7-Eleven has an Indian. And it just goes on and on. Look at what he said about Martin Luther King. That his death wasn't as significant as George Floyd. And Black said nothing about it. They just moved on because they were told to move on. So this book, again, it's by these two reporters from the New York Times. And we question their judgment and some of the things that they're saying. But this is a liberal outfit. The New York Times. So why would they come out and say this about Jill Biden and her feelings toward Kamala if it wasn't true? mean, they've protected this administration and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden all this time. And now they're going to come out with this book? I kind of believe it. Because you look at Kamala and the different assignments that she's been given, and she's always on the run. And that's another thing that we have to realize is that the vice presidents and the president, they don't always get along. I mean, it's like a union that was forced together out of expediency. Obama, did the same thing happen with Obama and Joe? Obama didn't really care for Joe, thought that Joe was a loose cannon, loose lips, loosey lips, Joe. And look at all the snafus that Joe had made. And Obama even said about Joe when he was getting ready to run, he said, never underestimate his ability to F things up. You look at, I think that the only relationship that was probably one that worked together was probably George Bush II and Dick Cheney, because Dick Cheney never wanted to be president. They just picked him because it's like, well, let's just even out the ticket. Let's make things like kind of quiet things down. He's more senior. He knows how things work in D.C. And boy, did he know how things work. And now look at the daughter that he's given us, the daughter from hell, who's trying to protect her father's legacy. It's like, come on, Liz Cheney, give it up. It's over. Then you look at Bill Clinton and Al Gore. Hillary Clinton didn't care for Al Gore or Tipper Gore. You look at the first Bush and Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle is probably shaking his hand and doing a pump up in the air now, Andrew, saying, gosh, you got Kamala. She'll go down in history as the worst vice president. Joe will be the worst president. Jimmy Carter is probably thankful for that.
Yeah, if you want to go back to the disputes between presidents and vice presidents, you can go all the way back to Theodore Roosevelt and William Taft. In fact, William Taft became president and Roosevelt wanted back in the White House, and they became bitter rivals where Roosevelt was constantly cracking on Taft for being fat and a bunch of other things. So there's a long history of the vice president not getting along with the president for sure.
Oh yeah, long history. So this is what we have right now, the resident and the vice resident, they don't get along at all. And I'm sure that a lot of the leaks that have come out about Kamala are probably compliments of Jill Biden and her staff. And speaking of staff, look at the turnover with Kamala. I think 10 people right now have left her staff. And the media, they're quiet on it. Even the New York Times, they're like, oh, it's nothing to see here. But whenever someone left out of Trump's administration, it made headline news. Always. Why did they leave? They don't like it. Well, why are people in Kamala's inner circle leaving? Simone Sanders, the loudmouth Simone Sanders, she's leaving. Now, if she's leaving, you know there's a problem. And why wouldn't Joe just snatch her up and say, okay, you can come work for us? Well, it didn't happen because Joe had promised her, so it seems, that she would be the White House press secretary. But when it came time to make the selection, Jen Psaki got up there. This administration is so incompetent, and they're constantly pushing each other under the bus, but the media says, oh, nothing to see here. And speaking of Jen Psaki, Andrew, I find it rather interesting that when the Hunter Biden laptop story first came out, she was one of the first talking heads to dismiss it as disinformation, Russia collusion. Don't worry about this. This is, you know, they're cooling with Russia. This is Russia putting this out there.
Yeah, that was
nonstop.
That was panic.
Well, I wonder what is it now? Because when they went to her to ask her about it, the first thing she said is that, well, Hunter doesn't work for the government. So you would have to ask a spokesperson. Oh, really? But you were so willing to talk about it before then. And now that the New York Times, who's been giving you guys cover, has come out and said, it's true, it's his laptop. And have you noticed that they're not reporting on it? Where else with Trump? They reported on it nonstop. That's just like with Trump and what's her name? Stormy Daniels. She's been ordered to pay him $300,000. Now, when she got ready to sue him, the media couldn't get enough of talking about it. She's going to sue the president. She's suing the president. Just like at every 6 o'clock news that made that was a headline that she was suing Donald Trump. Now that she's been ordered to pay $300,000 to Donald Trump, As quiet as it's kept, no one wants to talk about it. And to me, that's an even bigger story. But no, they don't want to talk about it. New York Times, they're not talking about it either. So although they're throwing Kamala under the bus, they're still protecting this administration. And while Joe is overseas, fumbling and mumbling, it took him like 9 days to get overseas. How long has this war been going on? Almost a month? You would think he would have gone before then and spoke to our allies and or to NATO and said, hey, God, this is what we need for you to do. Like I said, this whole facade of he put together this incredible group of people with NATO to get them to stand up against Russia. No, he did not. They dragged their feet the entire time. Only when they saw that it might affect them did they decide to intervene and put in their own sanctions. Because if that weren't the case, why weren't they out speaking before then? Why weren't they out in front of the camera talking about this? Instead, it was Joe, more like Jen Psaki, because they knew if they put him out, he would mess up. Look at what he said the other day when they put him before the camera, talking about the New World Order. Run the tape.
Mother had an expression, out of everything terrible, something good will come if you look hard enough for it. I think this presents us with some significant opportunities to make some real changes. You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. Now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it.
The new world order. And we've spoken about that so many times. The new world order. Remember how there's a movie that's getting ready to come out with Stacey Abrams being the president of the Earth?
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Yeah. She's President Earth or President of the Earth or whatever it is. Well, she looks like the Earth. New World Order. The New World Order. And some would say, oh, that's just a bunch of hearsay. Don't believe that. It's just, it makes no sense. No, Joe let it slip out. I just played the tape. That's what they want. That's all under one umbrella. And then with one person being the ruler. Now, they'll probably never get there, but they want it because there are too many countries that would fight against it. Do you actually think China is going to allow the United States to govern them? I don't think so. Maybe the United States, Canada, and a few European countries. But that's the intent. So Biden's there, forgetting names on the world stage, a big embarrassment. I think President Zelensky's profile is a lot better than Biden's profile, Andrew. People see him as being a leader as opposed to Biden. Now, simply because I've heard a lot of people say this, Andrew, so I'm going to just put this out there. Simply because we're saying that Zelensky is doing a good job and that he's behaving more of a leader, don't think for a doubt that I'm like, oh, man, he should come to the United States and be the president, because you have a lot of folks on the left that would say that.
Right. I don't like either of them, but anybody is more competent than Joe Biden. I mean, even in Canada, if I was Canadian and Justin Trudeau was my president, I'd be like, well, at least he's not senile like they've got over there in the United States. I mean, we're literally a laughingstock at this point.
And the media wants to pretend as if though we're not. When Trump was a president, oh, we're a laughingstock and he's a bully and he's this and they're all laughing at us. And those talking heads on Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski and Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell, Anderson Cooper, the former Chris Cuomo, he got what he deserved. Don Lemon, Brian Stelter, of course, Joy Reid, and then the women of The View. They were all talking about Trump being the laughingstock and how we weren't being respected. Now who's the laughingstock? Now who's being respected? They don't want to talk about it now because they want it to seem or appear that Joe is this fearless leader, that Joe is so powerful, and he's doing all these great things. People are laughing at Joe left and right. That is the reason why, as I said, they weren't listening to him when he was saying, we need to do this to Russia. And they waited, and on their own terms, when they decided that the time was right, they decided to act. Because Joe had plenty of time, folks. remember, Joe could have provided weapons to Ukraine before this happened. It would have been more of a deterrent, and maybe Putin would have said, no, he's senile, but we just better just back down. And people say, well, I had a conversation, this is really interesting, Andrew, I just thought about this, with a neighbor, and we somehow just slid into the conversation of Trump. And would you believe that people still actually think, I don't know if they're just being just ignorant, or he was just trying to get me to think this, that Trump and Putin are colluding, and that Putin owns all these hotels in these secret names, and that at the end of the day, Trump is the ultimate owner. Now, these are the same people who would say that Trump isn't a billionaire. These are the same people that would say Trump has no money.
Yeah, so I've gotten into that exact debate that liberals will try to argue with you that Donald Trump's not rich. I mean, that's a real conspiracy theory out there, too. It's really funny, some of these theories that liberals have and they come up with and they tell you. It's always a hearsay, and you know they're full of it, but they're convinced that they're telling the truth.
Right, they're full of us, but I wonder, I'm like, are they trying to convince us? Because they just said that he was broke, he has no money, but then they'll say he's colluding with Russia, and that he and Putin, right. He and Putin are good friends. And I would think, well, if that's the case, why didn't Putin invade Ukraine when Trump was in office? Because he wouldn't have to worry about all the sanctions. I mean, we devastated his economy the same way he has obliterated Ukraine. Ukraine is like a wasteland right now. So why wouldn't he have done it when Trump was in office? And they will scoff at it and say, oh, well, no, but you do know. I'm like, but what you're saying makes absolutely no sense. Because if they were such buddy-buddy, Russia would have just went in when he was in office, when Trump was in office. Not to mention, then they'll say, well, you know, he didn't give Ukraine the aid that they wanted. It's like, right, but they got it. That's beside the point. He said, I need to know this information. And if you want this, you will do X, Y, Z. That happens all the time. It's just so bad that Biden couldn't convince Putin of the same thing, to say, Putin, we'll give you this if you don't do that. And Putin said, screw you, I'm going to do what I want to do. So if they were colluding, Trump and Putin, why didn't Putin just make a move on Ukraine now? Why didn't he just go in? Why is it that he would wait for Biden? Because remember, Biden said that I know him and he's not going to do this, but he did it. And the media was probably so shocked that he did it, they didn't know how to spin it. But Putin just walked right in there and said, hey, screw you, I don't care. So when I hear people saying, oh, well, you know that he and Putin is in his back pocket. It's like, yeah, but why didn't he just go in when Trump was here? Because he would have been more favorably received had Trump been there. And Trump would have said, we're not going to put any sanctions on him. And you got to remember also, of all the presidents, Russia was sanctioned more under Donald Trump. Then as far as, well, he held back all this money from Ukraine, but Ukraine got it. And Biden should have given them or armed them before Russia went in, as opposed to trying to scramble and do it afterwards. They can't explain that.
Right. And I would also argue, if Ukraine would have done what Donald Trump was asking and given us the goods on Hunter Biden that he was asking for, why is this guy getting millions and millions of dollars coming from your country? We know he's not a good businessman. If they'd have given us some good information on Hunter Biden to help Trump get reelected, they wouldn't be in the position that they're in right now.
Wouldn't I be in the position that they're in right now? And just speaking of Hunter Biden, this lady, oligarch's wife, I think it was, she's the mayor of Moscow, Yelena Butrino, wired $3.5 million to Hunter Biden's bank account. She also met with Hunter Biden and his business partners in Italy. Now, this was before Biden entered the White House, but no one wants to explain what was this money for and why was he doing business with her. Now, imagine had this been any of Trump's children. And when you bring that up, they'll say, oh, well, they're doing worse. Okay, you say that they're doing worse. Why haven't they been able to find that worse that you say that they're doing? Well, they're under investigation, right? They're under investigation, but let's just think about it. If there was any there, it would have already come out. So all of these investigations that are going on behind closed doors on Trump that has been leaked out that they're investigating him, there's no there there. You see, what they're hoping is that they could turn nothing into something, especially when you have a lot of liberal judges. And I've said this before. You look at the judges that are deciding these cases. Had it been any other attorney general in New York besides Sly Vance and Letitia James, they would have said, let's pass on this. There's nothing there. But see, what those two are hoping is to try this in the court of public opinion. There's no there there, but the idea that they've said that there might be something there, people will assume there's something there. And if you were to say, what is it? Oh, don't worry, they're going to find it. I'm surprised that this judge ruled that, Stormy Daniels has to pay Trump $300,000. I don't know how that got through. And of course, like I said, the media's not going to report on it. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a good thing it did. And what people have to remember is when we're talking about Hunter Biden, these millions and millions of dollars he is getting from these countries, we're upset about that because we know why he is getting that. That is because he's the president's son and these countries are buying influence is what they're buying. That's exactly what they're buying. And I believe Rob believes a lot of this money is getting filtered up to Joe Biden himself.
It's getting filtered up to Joe Biden. Before he became the resident of the White House, he was a vice president. And then he was a vice president after he left the White House. And they were buying access to Joe Biden. Now, that's not to say that Joe was doing anything, but just the idea. You guys got to remember, I mean, he was a senator and then a vice president. And then to be able to have access to that, to say, hey, well, I can establish a meeting. I'll get you in front of him. And you could tell him what you want to say. That's not that Joe would do anything, but just the idea that Joe was listening. And of course, Joe might have been able to do something, you know, make a couple of phone calls and say, hey, I spoke with this guy. Can you do X, Y, Z? And they would probably do it. And as a result, Hunter Biden is getting millions of dollars, not millions of dollars, but $50 million, $20 million. And that's what China paid him. Some groups in China paid him for Joe meeting with them. And it just goes back to this guy, Tony Bobulinski. No one is talking about him. Tucker Carlson had him on his show for, I think, 3 nights. And he was saying, I met Joe Biden. And Joe Biden was part of this business deal. Joe claimed that he wasn't. And what did Joe say? Well, you have all of these generals that have signed a letter giving me cover saying that it's Russia disinformation. Well, now that the New York Times is saying that it's not Russia disinformation, what is Leon Panetta going to say now? None of them should ever be used as subject matter experts. They should never appear on any networks. And when they do, when they do happen to come on Fox or CNN or whatever station giving their opinions, I would say, some people would say, well, take it with a grain of salt. Don't even take it with a grain of salt. Don't take it at all. Immediately rule it out because you know if they're saying something, they're spinning it for their own best interest, Andrew.
You're right. And we all know Hunter Biden is not such a great businessman. He's getting these deals. I mean, he's a crack smoking, hooker buying reject. This guy is a total loser. And like we said before, the only reason he's getting this money is because he is Joe Biden's son. And it'd be interesting to know if it's still happening. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app. Keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
The American Constitution is the most magnificent document on earth. We are America Out Loud. Join us as we celebrate the genius of our founding fathers. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and we're glad that you're tuning in. And as we always say, please share the broadcast, because we definitely want to get our voices out there, to get conservative voices out there, another part of the news that is not often out there. And we see now that conservatives are constantly being censored. Just the other day, we had one of the writers of the Babylon Bee who was censored, kicked off Twitter. I'm surprised that anyone is still on Twitter. Twitter does have a powerful platform, as Andrew and I said. He and I, between the two of us, I think we had about over 100,000 followers. And we also had a podcast there that was doing extremely well until after the election. And I guess they got mad because we wouldn't acquiesce. We would not bend the knee to Joe Biden. And we were calling out the hypocrisy, so they suspended us indefinitely. Now, they told me on a number of occasions, you can come back on. They sent me a text saying you can come back on, but I never came back on. And I got to be honest, I don't miss it. I mean, I miss the idea that the fact that it had a huge audience platform whereby you could reach so many people. I enjoyed that. But you see, when you rely on companies like that, that can pull the rug from under you, that's not good. And that's exactly what they did. And we spoke about this on this show previously, as to how these outlets are functioning like censorship companies to shut you down if they don't like what you're saying. And as I said, they shut down one of the writers of the Babylon Bee because he came out and said, just made the comment that Rachel Levin is not a woman, although the USA Today newspaper is saying that she won the Woman of the Year award. How the heck does she win if she's not a woman? So they kicked him off and they said, well, we'll open up your account. We'll bring it back if you take down that tweet. Now, Andrew and I weren't given that option. They just kicked us off completely. But right. They told them.
I believe their tweet said that Rachel Levin was the Man of the Year.
Yeah, right. The Man of the Year.
In contrast to the Woman of the Year.
And they said that it was hateful information, hateful rhetoric or whatnot. Now, how can that be hateful and it's truthful? Rachel isn't a woman. Rachel is Richard calling himself Rachel. It's embarrassing. When I say embarrassing, it's embarrassing for our country that we're going around allowing men to say that they're women. And if you speak the truth, they'll shut you down because they're saying that you're putting out hateful information. You're being hateful. How is that possible? And then another writer came out, I think it was Charlie Kirk, and made a comment about it. Then they kicked him off. Like, really? Meanwhile, Putin still has an account on Twitter. The Ayatollahs of Iran still have an account on Twitter. Terrorists still have accounts on Twitter and YouTube. President Donald Trump does not. I do not. Because they say that we're mean. We're spreading hateful speech. Who are they to decide what's hateful and what's not? And we said this the other day about Facebook and their truth gatherers, the people who are looking to make certain that you're speaking the truth. Who are they? 23-year-old college students? And then they have them as the purveyors of truth, what's truthful and what's not? And what are congressmen and senators doing about it? Oh, well, they're hauling them before Congress. I don't want them to go before Congress anymore unless you're going to do a complete undressing and say, you know, and because you guys lied to us the last time, look outside your door. That's the FBI. They're coming to arrest you because you lied to Congress. That is an offense. I think it's a federal offense. You lied. You're going to jail. Yet to happen. But the moment, if you were to let a conservative lie, well, they would be up under the jail. Look at the guys from Jan 6, protesters in jail. Some haven't seen their attorneys. You're making it difficult for them. Prisoners, political prisoners. But no one is keeping saying anything about it. They're just moving along their little day because if you say something, people are afraid that their livelihoods will be taken away.
Yeah, one guy even just became a Belarus refugee because
I heard that.
He had 14 charges against him from January 6th, so he fled the country, and Belarus brought him in, which I guess would be better than prison.
Well, not only that, there was another gentleman who killed himself because they kept harassing him, trying to get him to admit something that he did not do. Quiet as is kept, the media has said absolutely nothing about it. There was an obituary about it on Facebook. I tried to get it as much attention as possible. Had this been a liberal, the person killed himself because they were teasing him and they were discriminating against them. And they were hating them because they were black or because they were a woman. As we said the other night, it seems the left has won the culture war. It's most unfortunate. We've lost so much ground that we've got to take back. And I was listening the other night of the story of this, of the, how Mark Zuckerberg, I think that's his name, I think I got it right this time, Andrew, had plunked down $330 million in Wisconsin and some of the Midwestern states to form the Center for Technology and Civic Life, CTCC. And the person over it was David Plouffe, who was in the Clinton campaign trying to help her be president, because he had come out and lamented that Hillary lost the election to Donald Trump because she turned her back on people that were traditional people in the Democrat Party. And did you guys, before I talk about that, do you guys realize how things have changed? How the Democrat Party used to be the party of the people, and they have now become elitist. And I saw this happening when, during the 2008 election, and Barack Obama, whom I did not vote for, was running against Hillary Clinton. And Chris Matthews, who's been kicked off MSNBC because he was a sexually harassed woman, made the comment that, and he made it like, hey, there was no shame to it, that Barack Obama supporters buy their coffee from Starbucks and Hillary Clinton supporters get their coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, as if though that's like the low end. Now, I don't drink coffee. I would probably say I've been into Starbucks, and this is a true statement, probably bought something for Starbucks all of probably 5 times, if that. Any other time people have bought me, not coffee, but probably tea or something. But me personally, probably 5 times, if that. Dunkin' Donuts, again, I don't drink coffee. I've probably gone there to get donuts for my kid or for my kid's school or one of their other like summer drinks. But they actually made the comment that Hillary Clinton supporters go to Dunkin' Donuts because they're on the low end. Barack Obama supporters go to Starbucks. They're on the high end. Fast forward to today. The Republican Party, whom they used to say were elitist, now consists of the regular day average American, the working class. And the Democrats are the elitist. And embedded in that, you have people like Barack Obama and all of the movie stars, all the entertainers, all the people with big money, big tech. They run the Democratic Party. It's like some type of, I would say, mob outfit, a mafia. They've always said that the Republicans were the party of the hoity-toity, but now they've become the party of the people. And you know why? Because of Donald Trump, a billionaire, whom, as we said during the first half of the show, people have been saying, oh, he's not rich, he has no money. But then they'll lament and say, oh, he's colluding with Russia. Russia, whose president is Putin, who's supposed to be, Andrew, the richest man in the world, worth almost $200 billion. Well, it came from all ill gains because they took over all the public companies in Russia. Go figure. The Republican Party, the party of the people, and Democrats, the party of the elitist. And if you were to tell that regular, everyday liberal supporter of the Democrat Party how things have changed, they wouldn't believe it. Oh, no, the Democrats, we're the party of the people. No, you're not. The Democrat Party has long since left you, and you don't even realize it. The Democrat Party has you as their lapdog or their footstool, and you don't even realize it. They shut you down for 2 years, took away some of your rights, well, a lot of your rights, have given you crime, inflation, high food prices, and gas prices, and with that, a smokescreen telling you that, oh, this is because of Putin. Never mind the fact that we were talking about this during the fall of last year, but they're saying all of this is a result of Putin, the high gas prices. And then they came out and said, oh, gas is down by 2 cents. 2 cents? Okay. I'm paying $6. I was paying $6. Now I'm paying $5.98. That's no consolation, but they're telling you, oh, it's okay. And you can buy all this food that's expensive because of all the money you were saving or all the money that Biden gave you. Home prices are up. But this is great. This is the best thing ever. The economy is beautiful. Inflation, the highest it has ever been, Andrews, in 40 years. Unemployment, supply chain problem. And then on the social end, we don't know if a man is a man or a woman. Well, we know, but they don't want you to believe it, as I opened up saying, at how Twitter is shutting down people for calling out, as Andrew said, saying that Rachel Levin won the man of the year. And I just wonder, he was a man for 57 years of his life, or a male. And then in 2011, he decided, okay, I'm tired of this. I want to be a woman now and see how they live. And I am going to, as a result, I'm going to take all the jobs from women. Although the right has been complaining that women don't get equal pay, they don't get an opportunity to go into corporate America or get these high paying jobs. I'm just going to become a woman and I'm going to take those jobs. Look at Leah Thomas. We spoke about him. William Thomas, going as Leah. I'm the top swimmer. I'm getting in there and I'm going to do it. And Andrew, did you see the picture of him compared to the other women? He looks like some tall giant and they look like little midgets. I guess we're not supposed to say midget. I guess I should say little people. But I mean, you could, the big difference, but we're supposed to say that Leah is a man. Why can't we just say that Leah is a transgender and just say, okay, all transgenders can swim in this team on this side?
Yeah, I completely agree. Leah, when you look at him, it looks like a dude. I mean, he's got long hair, but it looks like a guy with long hair. And then when you see him next to the other girls, it's just shocking, the difference. And these races where he occasionally loses, I swear he does it on purpose so he doesn't dominate too much and draw even more attention to himself.
I'm sure someone told him. His family, and they've said nothing about his family, his mom and dad. What are they thinking? What is there to gain by him doing this? Eventually, that record that they're saying that he broke is going to be kicked out because level heads will eventually prevail. And you now have women coming out saying this isn't fair. What's going to happen then? When it's kicked out and said, no, he didn't win this because this is for women. And I saw a clip from, I think it was Good Morning America, and they were talking about it, and they were so gleeful and saying, oh yeah, we can't wait. We're waiting for this because he's going to break this record. He's going to break that record. Run the tape.
It's not just today's race. Leah is actually competing in three different events. How do we see the rest of these championships playing out for her?
Hoda, there is so much to watch. So she's going to first hit the pool this morning at 10 o'clock. That's the 500-yard freestyle. The prelims finals are tonight. She's favored to win the 500 and the 200-yard freestyles. She's also swimming in the 100-yard freestyle, and she's got a shot there. But in addition to watching for her winning those races, Hoda, we're also watching for the potential. She is within striking distance of the long-held collegiate records by Missy Franklin and Katie Ledecky. So, of course, we're going to be watching to see if she touches those records during this weekend, too.
You see that? Look at how ecstatic that reporter was. So giggly. Like all eyes are on Leah. Yeah, but Leah is a man swimming against women. And as we said on the show the other night, that if has the left won the culture warfare, that if I were any of those women, those females, going to a meet to swim, and if Leah came up, I would say, forget it, I'm not swimming. Because it's a foregone conclusion, you know who's going to win. You can't compete. And when you have all these people saying that's not fair, it's like, what are you thinking? What are you teaching your kids? Well, a lot of them have been indoctrinated. I can't believe this is happening in society, Andrew. I just cannot believe it. And you have these companies, big tech, that are defending this, and they're trying to force it down our throats. And if we say, no, that's not right. Rachel is Richard. Rachel is not a woman. Rachel should not get this award. And it all goes back to Caitlyn Jenner. I remember when, I think it was Sports Illustrated, gave her the IPSY Award for being true. And at the time, people were like, this is so great. And believe it or not, I fell for it also. I was like, oh, well, if he's going to do that, maybe he should. But then I thought about it. I'm like, but wait a minute. What about all the women that were deserving of that award? And Caitlyn himself even said, well, okay, thank you for this, but there are a lot of other people that are more deserving. But of course, he took it. So we gave him an award simply because he decided to change his sex and say that I'm no longer a man, I'm a woman. Well, buddy, you're still a woman. And a man. And he recognizes that. Now, I don't know if he got his junk cut off or not. We never figured that out, that being Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner. But it's just not fair. And for these people to keep bitching and moaning, saying that women don't have a fair chance, they don't have a fair this, and then you allow men to compete against them or to occupy spaces where they should be, it's just wrong. I mean, I scratch my head about it. I cannot figure that out. And this always happens when the left is in power. So some would say, well, why is it always a left and right thing? And, you know, some Republicans, they're down with it all. So you're right. They are. They certainly are. And they're rolling over and they're letting it pass by. I don't know why. You're not helping anyone. Look at the harm, the damage that you're causing these girls. I mean, Andrew, think about it. These girls have been competing, as we said in the other night's show, for months, for years, not months, but years. And they wanting that one moment in time to show, hey, I'm the best that I can be. And then M marches a male. And we had this during the summer during track season, when they had these guys pretending to be girls running, and they were blowing up the competition. Why would you even think to do that? Why wouldn't you just say, well, this really isn't fair because I know that I'm going to beat them. Does that make you think that you're more of a female by doing it? That I'm going to do this and I know I'm going to dominate. And then they have the knuckleheads and say, hooray, hooray, yeah, you did it. The NCAA, NCAA, as I said, is nothing but a political group. They can't stand up. The same thing with the NBA and the NFL. All these groups are all conservatives, not conservative, but liberals, liberal wingers. And it's unfortunate that conservatives blinked, and wham, this is what happened. We blinked and we got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And I think with Joe Biden and Kamala, I don't think not only did conservatives blink, I think that the whole world blinked. They blinked and we got all of this, what we have now, cheating, suppression of free speech, giving our powers to big tech. And we had said all along that they were dangerous. We said they were dangerous to our kids. They were dangerous because people were spending so much time on it. But now look at what happened. They control more than what they should because we blinked. And with a twinkling of an eye, they were able to move in and change so much. And the whole shutdown worked in their interest. because we couldn't do anything without them. That's how we were able to keep in contact with people. That's how we were able to see what was happening through big tech. And then you look at all these other Fortune 500 companies, you look at Amazon, you look at Microsoft, how they made all this money because we blinked. And when you blink, as they say, when you snooze, you lose. And now look at what has happened to our great country. You got Biden standing there pontificating a bunch of nonsense, talking about a new world order. You got Kamala going overseas, completely embarrassing us. And if you say anything, they'll attack you and say, oh, you don't like her because she's a woman or because she's Black. We blinked. We blinked and we had men wearing dresses saying that they're women. Because we blinked. How did we get here? How are we going to open up our eyes and change all this? I think it's round one. You got to give it to the left because they've won it. They have, and I hate saying it, but as I said on the other night's show, they have basically won. They've gained so much ground. And we've lost so much simply because we blinked. We blinked and we allowed big tech to step in and control so much of our lives. As I mentioned with the Midwestern states and $330 million dropped. Now, when you look at it, someone would say, well, was there election fraud or did someone break the law? No, what Zuckerberg did was fine. Mark Zuckerberg, it was fine. He didn't break any laws. It wasn't right. He cheated. But what laws were broken? And Bill Barr told us that. It doesn't look good. I looked it up myself. Anyone could have done it. There's money on the right as well. Anyone could have gone in and said, okay, we're going to buy these machines and we're going to control the polling and we're going to make certain that this information get out. But we were too busy laughing, making fun of big tech, saying, oh, what is this? What are they doing? Facebook, but people getting on, they're just exposing their lives. Yeah, but they knew what they were doing. They were invading our lives, coming in, collecting data on us, and then selling it and using it for other things, conditioning us. Some people right now, they would freak out if they weren't on Facebook. And then you got TikTok. TikTok, a Chinese company, a company that Trump had wanted to shut down. And you had the left saying, don't, no way. And then the right came in and said the same thing, Andrew. No, you can't do that. TikTok, don't you know that China is getting your information? But of course, that enters the New York Times, the Washington Post, Facebook, and Twitter. And they'll say, oh, don't believe that. Don't believe it.
Yeah, people don't care if TikTok's stealing their information because those people on the left, they're not anti-China whatsoever. You remember when John Cena said his thing about Taiwan and China, and there was a big escalation from that point forward. There's a lot of those on the left that were defending China, making up all these claims. And it's really interesting to see that because it seems like a lot of those on the left are quite pro-China.
Pro-China, and they're saying that we're pro-Russia, which makes absolutely no sense, but that's just a continuation of them trying to tell themselves that Trump was colluding with Russia. So they want to say, oh, Republicans, they're okay with Putin. No, we're not. It's a big lie. It's like, do you believe, now you want to say that we're pro-Putin? Really? Give me a break. We've been saying that Zelensky is doing a better job than Biden. Like, come on, but going back to what you were saying about Joe Biden and this whole thing with China and the left being okay with giving their information to China. TikTok, I don't have a TikTok account. I don't want a TikTok account. As soon as I found out that it was from China, I'm like, there is no way I'm giving them my information.
Yeah, same here.
But, you know, people, they, oh, I got to do my TikTok video and I've got to do this. And now TikTok is rivaling Facebook. You have more young people that are on TikTok. And we can't forget about Ojo using TikTok influencers to talk about, to explain to the world how inflation works, and to explain to the world that Putin is a reason for the high gas prices. Because we can't dare blame Biden and his lack of policies. Biden, who shut down the Keystone pipeline. Biden, who claims that, well, there people have oil drill permits, the moment they drill. Well, they got the permits, but they don't. Who owns the land? The government owns the land, and you're forgetting to tell the people that you won't allow them to get on the land and drill. But no one thinks about this. I mean, can you imagine a crazy man is in the White House with all this crazy information and people are buying it? And the only reason why is because they don't like Trump. They don't like him. And as I said, I was saying to the first hour, half hour of the show, I was telling my neighbor, you know, who was having a conniption talking about Trump, he was getting all emotional. And I said, look, I said, I'm not trying to get you to like him. Everything that you're saying about him, what you're right about is that he was bombastic and he was loud. And yes, he sent out many tweets. I'm like, but you cannot deny that his policies worked. Don't come telling me that, oh no, but that was a continuation of Barack Obama. No, it wasn't. Because when he was nominated in 2020, and after he took office in January 21, 2021, the market went down, and you guys immediately blame him, and you guys immediately said he has to own it, not Barack Obama. That's what you all said. But then when you saw things percolating and turning around, then you wanted to deny it and throw Barack Obama back in it. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Does not work that way, not at all. So they can't admit to what's happening simply because of the hatred for Trump. So we blinked. We blinked, and look at what we've got here now. Joe's overseas, falling all over the place, trying to make himself seem as if though he's the big man of the hour. I mean, we're still the big powerful United States. It's just that they're laughing at us because they all see that Joe is compromised. He is compromised from the position that he can't think. And I would venture to say that Jill Biden is directing him and everything that he's saying. I wouldn't at all be surprised if she's running things. Remember how they used to say that Nancy Reagan was running the White House when Ronald Reagan was there? I really believe that Joe is so absent-minded that Jill has to make a lot of these decisions. But, you know, and then Barack Obama, he's probably in the basement in his sweatsuit or in Hawaii making millions of dollars. And what's that other lady's name that was always hanging around them? She was in the White House, Susan Rice. We haven't seen her. Quiet as is kept. Where is Susan Rice? Where's Dr. Fauci? I mean, he's now, have you noticed, Andrew, Dr. Fauci is slowly coming back out because he thinks that another wave of COVID is about to hit. He wants to jump out front and say, oh, you got to shut down. Shut down, everybody. We blinked. We got Fauci. We blinked. We got Joe Biden. We blinked. And this is where we are today, Andrew.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who's coming up on its 6th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or wherever you download your podcasts. Make sure you like and subscribe. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or fall for nothing.